The Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is 2016, and this is the acceptable year of the Lord. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I invite your attention to the book of Proverbs. Once again, where Brother Jeremy Gray read it so beautifully. The 30th chapter. And I want to look at with you for a few moments, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. If you have it, say amen. Let me ask again, y'all didn't sound real confident. If you have it, say amen. We're going to ask you to read this text after me as we do. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not. Before I die, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. We thank the Lord for his word that's like a light that illuminates. We thank him for his word that is like a sword that penetrates. We thank him for his word that's like a seed that germinates. We thank him for his word that is like a hammer that obliterates. And yes, we thank him for his word that is like bread that stimulates. And we thank him for his word that is like water that invigorates. His word never comes back to him void. Now I want you to announce this subject with me today. I think you're going to like this subject. It's going to bless all of us. And the subject this morning is, Lord, keep me in my lane. Lord, keep me in my lane. Can we say it again? Lord, keep me in my lane. If you know anything about traveling on the great roads and highways and interstates of the world, you know there are rules and regulations that govern our travel. And your lane is the designated and appointed place in which you are to travel. Amen. And normally, as long as you stay in your lane, things will work out pretty well. Amen. And also, there is a thing on the highway that's called improper lane change. That is, if you're going to change lanes, you got to make the necessary preparations. Amen. Because they will pull you over for improper lane change. But sometimes this great analogy is applied to life and living, that we have to learn how to stay in our lanes. Amen. As you travel the great highways of life, as you travel the great interstates of life, you have to be very sure that you stay in your lane. Amen. Sometimes we talk about as we travel, Lord, give us traveling grace. We don't want to get on the highway. We don't want to get in the air. We don't want to get on the water without taking the Lord with us. Somebody said you ought to take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Amen. I wouldn't dare get on an airplane and wouldn't ask the Lord to please hold my hand. I wouldn't go into an operating room and wouldn't ask God to help me. And as you move on the great roads and the great highways and the great interstates of life, you need traveling grace. We need traveling grace for the Lord to help us to stay in our lanes. Now, when I look at this text, this is a request made by a non-Israelite sage named Agur. And there's some thinking that he was from northern Arabia. And in this text, he was teaching his students about life. And he said, in this text, it's two things I'm asking God to do for me. And God, I'm asking you to not deny me these things before I die. Now, there's a thing called a bucket list. Y'all familiar with that? Some things you write down that you want to do before you die. Things you want to do before you get up out of here. Amen. And so he said, Lord, I'm asking you to allow me to have these things before I die. And so it's two things I want you to see. I won't be long. Two things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the two things Agur requested. And the second and final point is, Lord, keep me in my lane. Now, when I think about the first idea, the Bible tells us that we should make requests. It's all right to make requests of God. You gotta live your life in such a position where you will be able to make requests of God. Now, of course, none of us can make demands of God. None of us can place demands on God. But we can make requests. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you, it's all right wherever you are to make requests of God. We read in scripture where from time to time people would make requests of the Lord. One day, James and John came to Jesus and they made a request. They said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, let us sit on your right hand or your left hand when you come into your kingdom. Even though they were misguided in their request, they made the request. One day, a Canaanite woman coming out of the courts of Syria said to the Lord, I got a problem at home. My daughter is grievously vexed. Lord, help me. She was making requests unto the Lord. One day, when he came down through Jericho, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by a roadside. He heard Jesus of Nazareth was coming by and he cried out, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. He was making our requests. And the Lord said, what is it that you would have me to do? He said, that I might receive my sight. Lord, I'm asking you to help me to see. And I'm telling you, God can still help you to see. And none are blinder than those who will not see. Amen. Well, Agur made two requests of God. Number one, he said, Lord, remove from me lies and vanity. That is, Lord, remove from me worthlessness and hollowness. Lord, would remove from me that which is not really worthwhile. Lord, don't let me be running after and chasing after things that really ain't worthwhile. And Lord, don't let people who are lying get up in my ear and be giving me counsel and advice. Lord, I need you to remove me from vanity and hollowness. Lord, help me to keep it real. Lord, help me to be for real. Lord, help me not play games in my life. A lot of people play games. So Lord, remove me. Lord, don't have me. You see, if you're not very careful, if you don't stay in your lane, you'll find yourself chasing after the wind. If you don't stay in your lane, you will find yourself exhausting yourself, wearing yourself out for bread that perishes instead of the bread that endures. What am I living for? Lord, help me, keep me in my lane. If somebody is lying to me, Lord, remove them out of my lane. Lord, I need you to help me to stay in my lane. Lord, I don't need to make an improper lane change. I need you to help me to stay in my lane. And then he said, first of all, remove me from worthlessness, hollowness, from false folks, hypocrites, perpetrators, game players, manipulators. Remove me from those kind of folks. The folks who would smile in my face, and all the time they're trying to take my place. I need you to remove me from that. And then he said, another thing I ask you, Lord, don't make me rich. Don't make me poor. But give me food that is convenient, that is allotted. Give me my portion of what I need. In other words, Lord, keep me. Because see, there's moral danger in being rich. And did you know there's moral danger in being poor? Sometimes I can have a problem because I got too much. Oh, help me here. And sometimes I can have a problem because I got too little. And Lord, I need you to help me to stay in my lane. Amen. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. It also talks about the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which many coveted after have erred from the faith and has pierced themselves through with many hurtful lusts. Jesus even said that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let's get it straight. It's not impossible. Rich people can enter into the kingdom of God, and rich people can humble themselves, and rich people can serve God. But he said, it's certain things I can't handle. You got to stay in your lane. You got to know what your limitations are. Amen. If you want your brakes fixed on your car, don't call me. Hello. Is that all right? Because that's not what I do. Amen. Sam Wide can, but I can't. Now, if you want to wreck your car, holler at me. Amen. And so he said, don't give me riches, because there's a real possibility that if I get rich, I will deny you. I will think I don't need you, God. And I would say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Help me to stay in my lane, lest I deny you and think I don't need you. And I know the Bible said money answers all things, but money can't take the place of Almighty God in your life. Amen. So Lord, don't give me, neither give me riches nor poverty. And then he said, Lord, don't make me poor. Don't make me so poor I'm tempted to steal. Because sometimes you can have too little. You see, there are temptations that a rich man has that a poor man doesn't have. There are temptations a man with money has that everybody do not have. Amen. There are temptations a poor man has that a rich man doesn't have. And sometimes not having enough can be just as bad as having too much. Poverty can be a real problem. When you ain't got enough money, ain't life tough? Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me, huh? Well, maybe I'm talking to the wrong folks this morning. Maybe you don't know nothing about no deficit. Anybody on the line this morning? Amen. When poverty showed up at Job's house, it changed the dynamics. If poverty show up at your house and my house, do you not know it'll change the dynamics in your house? You got so poor that you go to bed at night, you're worrying about money. You can't sleep at night because you're worrying about money. Amen. When poverty, Brother Sperling, when poverty showed up at Job's house, it affected his wife. Hello, y'all. Job's wife got so frustrated because poverty was in her house. She counseled her husband, Ron. She said, you ought to curse God and die. Change the dynamics in her house. And Job said to her, you speak like a foolish woman. In other words, foolish women had been speaking. Now you sound like one of them. You ain't been talking. What's the matter with you? You ain't been talking like this. Now poverty, we had money. Now we don't have any. And the dynamics have changed. Lord, help me to stay in my lane, whether I'm up or whether I'm down. Lord, help me to stay in my lane, whether I got a lot or got a little. Lord, give me food convenient for me. Oh, Lord, help me to stay. Because if I ain't got enough, I'll start blaming God and cursing God. And he said, don't put me in a position where I got to steal. Don't have me so squeezed from. And see, this is one thing America, corporate America, doesn't seem to understand. You put people out of work and you think you're going to have all the money and you're going to be safe. Now, I'm telling you, if a man can't feed his children, he'll steal your bread or he will be tempted. That's why the man said, give me, Lord, keep me in my lane. Remove hollowness and vainness from me. Don't make me rich. Don't make me poor. Give me the portion that is allotted for me. I know what I can handle, and I can make an improper lane change. So, Lord, you keep me in my lane. Here's the final point, y'all, and I'm gonna leave you alone. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say good evening. I'm trying to learn some sense. I'm trying to say more in less time. Did y'all hear what I said? I'm trying to say a lot, but I'm trying to put it in a tighter package. But I'm trying to learn some sense around here. Y'all all right? Here's the final point. Lord, keep me in my lane. And let me tell you what that means for your life. It means that I'm in the place where I need to be, and I'm doing what I need to do when I need to do it. Because otherwise, you're out of your lane. Brooke, I remember I was going to a gospel meeting in Montgomery. Brother Earl going down 65 South, heading to Montgomery. I was running pretty good. By myself, I got the Temptations in there. My girl, my girl. Talking about my girl. Oh, Prince is like that. Prince is just laughing about that. Prince, you know something about my girl. Brother Wyatt, and I'm driving, and these Mexicans. Now, I ain't mad at Mexican, but on that day, Brother Earl, he was coming over in my lane. I'm blowing, bump, bump, get over. Sister Anderson, he made an improper lane change. As long as I was in my lane and he was in his lane, one no problems. Let me give you four practical things that I'm going to say good morning. Let me give you four practical things. Number one, Lord, keep me in my lane in that I get the log out of my own eye instead of trying to get the wood chip out of my brother's eye. Right, right. Keep me in my lane. Help me to look at myself first before I get up in other folks' Kool-Aid. Don't be like the lady, Brother Earl, one day. She was looking out her window, and she was talking about her neighbor's clothes. You know, back in the day when they was hanging clothes out on the clothesline. I know everybody got to dry now. But back in the day when she was looking out the window wide, and she looked at the window, she said, that woman ought to be ashamed of herself, got them dirty clothes on that line. Yeah. Well, she went outside, Ron, and she found out that the woman's clothes weren't dirty. Her window was dirty. Oh, help me here. I'm telling you, stay in your lane. Get the log out of your eye before you try to help your brother get the wood chip out of his eye. And the second thing, Lord, keep me in my lane by keeping first things first in my life. Let me tell you something. If you put anything before God, you're out your lane. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things, great God Almighty, will be added unto you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Stay in your lane, Lord. Keep me in my lane. Don't let me put this other stuff before you. Lord, keep me. Don't make me rich. And I'm not saying this applies to everybody. Maybe some people here can handle being rich. We ain't saying that. But everybody can't. You got to know your limitations. This man said, don't make me rich, don't make me poor, don't make me rich, lest I become full and deny you. That's what God warned the nation about. When you have eaten and are full, you to thank God, you to bless God, lest you say the power of my hand have gotten me this weapon. God has brought you a mighty, mighty long way. He brought you through the burning sands of Sinai. He opened rocks and fed you water when you didn't have no water. Your clothes did not wax old on your back. Your shoes didn't wear out. And you're going to say that you did this? Stay in your lane, Israel. No, it's God. Whatever job you got now, whatever education you have now, whatever house you live in, whatever car you drive, understand it all came from God. And without him, you can do nothing. Stay in your lane. Oh, Lord, keep me. Here's a third thing. Lord, keep me in my lane. And let me keep on confessing my sins. Because I got some. You got some. Amen. If you think you don't have any sin, you out your lane. If we say we have no sin, according to 1 John 7:8-9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have never sinned, we make God a liar. So I stay in my lane when I acknowledge I'm not perfect. I do sin and I need to confess them. Whether I do it privately or whether I stand in an assembly and confess them. Whether I write them on a card. I need to keep on confessing my sin and walk in the light as he's in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I want to be in the lane where the blood is, where it can continually cleanse me from all sin. And then here's number four, the final one. Lord, keep me in my lane. Help me to be where I need to be, where I can get the blessing with my name on it. Can I illustrate that for you? Brother Wise says, say it again. I think I will. Lord, help me to be in the place I need to be, when I need to be there, so I can get the blessing with my name on it. Because if you're not where you need to be, you will miss your blessing. Let me illustrate it. Jesus Christ had just risen from the dead, and he was appearing to his disciples. Brother West, what's called resurrection appearances, and he was giving them infallible proof that he was alive. Forevermore, the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist, said to them, I am he that once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And when he came one Sunday, Thomas wasn't there. And because he wasn't there, he missed his blessing. Amen. Don't miss your, when God has blessed you, don't miss your place where you're supposed to be shouting and praising him. Oh, I wish that somebody knew what I was talking. When the Lord has opened up the windows of heaven and blessed you, don't you miss your place. You be in the place so when the blessing with your name come on it. FedEx, I ain't talking about Brandon. I know Brandon handling his business. Don't be delivering my package to somebody else's house. Remember one time my neighbors were looking for a check. And they put the check in my box. I went and knocked on the door. Because, you know, I roll like that because I'm a child of God. Y'all all right? I said, man, guess what? He said, what? I said, man, they done put your check in my mail. And his wife started dancing right there. She started dancing wrong because she was so happy. The mailman delivered the check to the wrong address. But I'm telling you, be in the place you need to be. Stay in your lane. Don't make an improper lane change. So when your blessing with your name comes, you can make sure you're in the place that you need to be. And I'm going to say good morning to you. Amen. Say good morning to you, but I can respect Brother Agar when he said, Lord, two things I request of you. Lord, remove from me lies and vanity. Help me to keep it real. Is that all right? And Lord, a second thing I'll ask of you, don't make me rich. Sam Wide, don't make me poor, but give me bread that is convenient for me. Or give me what I need. I like that word. Give me what I need. Is that all right? Well, I don't know about you, but it's something about old school. I hear this new music. But it's something about old school. Is that all right? I don't know about y'all, but it's something. I think it's something amazing about old school, Ron. Is that all right? I think something incredible about old school. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Is that all right? I think there's something amazing about old school, because back in the day, Phyllis, we sang songs that would help you to stay in your lane. Is that all right? Oh, yeah, we sang a song that would help me stay in my lane. And I'm determined I'm going to stay in my lane, because one day a man named Jesus stood at the intersection of life and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Is that all right? And I don't know why, but remember, we sang a song, I'm going that way. Is that all right? Anybody remember that song? I'm going that way. I heard of a land of joy and peace. Is that all right? And beautiful light. Yes, they did. A place of mansions fair and skies ever bright. And those who believe the Savior here forever shall stay. Is that all right? But I'm trusting his soul redeeming love, and I'm going that way. Is that all right? I'm going that way. Denny White said, I'm on that way, and Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to him and never to stray. Is that all right? Praising my Savior all the day long, I'm going that way. The glorious news I tell and sing as on what I go. Is that all right? But those who are still astray in sin, my Savior may know. Is that all right? I'm going that way. How many can say I'm in my lane, and I'm going that way? And then he said, as I leave you, I know I shall meet him in at the gate when trials are past. Oh, I know, BJ, I'll see him face to face in glory at last. And Yvonne, and when we meet, I believe, well done, he will say. Is that all right? For trusting his soul redeeming love, I'm going. How many can say this morning, I'm going that way? I'm on that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, he's, how often with you? He's with me each day. I'm clinging. How many can say I'm clinging? I'm clinging to him and never, brother, run astray, because of what? I'm going that way. How many want to praise him? I want to praise him 24 hours a day. I want to praise him 7 days in a week. I want to praise him 12 months in the year. I want to praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Is that all right? The heavens are praising his name. The morning stars are praising his name. The sons of God are praising his name. The birds, as they wing their way through the air, are praising his name. That everything. And when you are praising God, I'm telling you, you are in your lane. When you stay in your lane, when you're supposed to be in church, you be here. Unless you can't be here. Right. Amen? Amen? So what I got to do, Lord, help me to stay. Can you say that with me? Lord, help me stay in my lane. Lord, help me to make proper lane changes. That's the message. Would you stand, please? That's the message. If you're here today, and one way, if you've been reckless driving will get you killed. Amen. The other day I was somewhere, man, the guy all over the road, all over in my lane, Jay. And I said, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to either let him go or I'm going to get on by him. That's what you got to do, right? Because this guy didn't want to stay in his. You know folks like that? Jackson said he wouldn't stay in his lane. Didn't you say that? I know you did. Well, how can I get in my lane? By believing the gospel. Christ died for you. The gospel has facts to be believed. Christ died for you. It has commands to be obeyed. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin, you confess Christ, you're baptized. It has promises to be received. Your sins are washed away. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, and the Lord will be with you all the days of your life. Amen. If you're a Christian and you out there living the way you shouldn't be living, hello? Amen. Doing stuff you shouldn't be doing with folks you shouldn't be doing it with. Preach, Moss. I'm telling you, these tough times need tough preaching. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. So if you're here, you say, Lord, help me to get in my lane, and you can get in your lane by confessing your sins. And if you got sins, if you got them and you don't confess them, you out your lane. You all over the place. Amen. But if you're here and you can respond, do so right now as we sing, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth dost thou do not pass me by. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth dost thou art called? Oh, do not. May be seated.